Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. By the name of Jehovah was God known to Israel from the time of the first mission of Moses to them and their manumission out of Egypt and not before. For God says to Moses, I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Exodus 6:3. This I am is an eternal word comprehending three times. That was, that is, and is to come. Now to testify the equality of the Son to the Father, the Scripture gives the same eternity to Jesus as it does to Jehovah. He is called Alpha and Omega. Primus et novissimus, the first and the last, which is, which was, which is to come in Revelation 1. And here the same yesterday and today and forever in Hebrews. Therefore he was not only Christus Dei, the anointed of God, but Christus Deus, God himself anointed, seeing that eternity, which has neither beginning nor ending, is only exclusive and properly to God. The words may be distinguished into a center, a circumference, an immediate line, referring the one to the other. The immovable center is Jesus Christ. The circumference that runs round about him here is eternity, yesterday, today, and forever. The immediate line referring to them is ho auton in the Greek, the same always. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The doctrine is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever because Jesus Christ is God. The center is Jesus Christ. Jesus was his proper name, Christ his title. Jesus, the name of his nature, Christ of his office and dignity. Jesus, a name of all sweetness. As Bernard said, honey in the mouth, music in the ear, joy in the heart. He's a reconciler, a redeemer, a savior. When the conscience wrestles with law, sin, and death, there is nothing but horror and despair without Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Without him, there is error, deception, and death. Bernard again says, if thou writest to me, thy letter doth not please me unless I read there Jesus. If you converse, your discourse is not sweet without the name of Jesus. The blessed restorer of all, of more than all that Adam lost, for we have gotten more by his regenerating grace than we lost by Adam's degenerating sin. Christ is the name of his office, being appointed and anointed of God, a king, a priest, a prophet. This Jesus Christ is our Savior, of whom names I forbear further discourse, being unable, though I had the tongue of angels. But of all names given to our Redeemer, still, Jesus is the sweetest. Others, Bernard says, are names of majesty. Jesus is a name of mercy. The Word of God, the Son of God, the Christ of God are all titles of glory. Jesus, a Savior, is a title of grace, mercy, and redemption. This Jesus Christ, this is the center of this text, and not only of this, but of the whole Scripture. The sum of divinity is the Scripture. The sum of the Scripture is the Gospel. The sum of the Gospel is Jesus Christ. In a word, there's nothing contained in the Word of God but God, the Word. Nor is he the center only of his Word, but of our rest and peace. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, 1 Corinthians 2:2. Augustine said, thou hast made us for thee, O Christ, and our heart is unquiet till it rest in thee. It is natural to everything to desire the center. But our life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. We must necessarily love where we must live. Our mind is where our pleasure is. Our heart is where our treasure is. Our love is where our life is. But all these, our pleasure, treasure, life, are reposed in Jesus Christ. Thou art my portion, O Lord, David says. Take the world that pleases, let our portion be in Christ. We have left all, Peter says, and followed thee, Matthew 19:27. You've lost nothing by it, Christ says, for you've gotten me. He is too covetous, whom Jesus Christ cannot satisfy. Let us seek this center. Augustine says, let us seek him till we have found him, and still seek him when we have found him. That seeking we may find him, he is ready. That finding we may seek him, he is infinite. You see, he is the center. The referring line proper to this center is always the same. There is no mutability in Christ, no variables, variableness, nor shadow of turning, James 1:17. All lower lights have their inconstancy, but in the Father of lights there is no changeableness. The sun has its shadow. The sun of righteousness is without shadow, Malachi 4:2. The sun turns upon the dial, but Christ has no turning. Whom he loves to the end, John 13:1. He loves us to the end. Of his love there is no end. Time will be brought to a close, but mercy will never be ended. His mercy shall be perfected in us, never ended. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy upon thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer, Isaiah 54 and verse 8. His wrath is short. His goodness is everlasting. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that he hath mercy on thee. Verse 10. The mountains are stable things, the hills steadfast. Yet hills, mountains, yes, the whole earth shall totter on its foundations. Yes, the very heavens shall pass away with a noise, and the elements shall melt with heat. 2 Peter 3:10. But the covenant of God shall not be broken. I will betroth thee unto me forever, God says, Hosea 2:19. This marriage bond shall never be canceled, nor sin, nor death, nor hell shall be able to divorce us. His mercy endureth forever, Psalm 136. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. As this meditation distills into our believing hearts much comfort, so let it give us some instructions. Two things it readily teaches us. A dissuasive caution and a persuasive lesson. It dissuades our confidence in worldly things because they're inconstant. How poor a space do they remain the same? The world may seem to stand in some need of something for a season, but at last it irrevocably runs away and carries with it your joys, your goods, as Rachel stole Laban's idols. Your peace and content of heart goes with it, and you're left desperate. You see how quickly riches cease to be the same, and can any other earthly thing boast more stability? Honor must put off its robes when the play is done, make it never so glorious a show on this world stage. It has but a short part to act. Pleasure is like lightning, heard, then it dies. Sweet, but short, a flash, and away. All vanities are but butterflies, which wanton children greedily catch for, as Anselm said. Well, then do not set your heart on these things. They are to be tread upon, as Jerome observes on Acts 4. They that sold their possessions brought the prices and laid them down at the apostles' feet, Acts 4:35. The world passeth, 1 John 2:17, and God abides. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy year shall not fail. Hebrews 1:11 and 12. Therefore, trust not in uncertain riches, but in the living God, 1 Timothy 6:17. And then they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Psalm 125, 1. You see, Jesus Christ, who is God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This persuades us, then, to an imitation of Christ's constancy. Let the stableness of his mercy to us work a stableness of our love to him. And howsoever, like the lower orbs, we have a natural motion of our own from good to evil, yet let us suffer the higher power to move us supernaturally from evil to good. There is in us indeed a reluctant flesh, a law in our members warring against the law of our mind, Romans 7:23. Irresolution and unsteadiness are hateful. And unlike to our Master Christ, who is ever the same, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James 1:8. The God of constancy, he would have us to be constant. Steadfast in your faith to him. Continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Colossians 1:23. Steadfast in your faithfulness to man, promising and not disappointing. Psalm 15 and verse 4. But we now come to the circumference, in which is a distinction of three times, past, present, future. The times change. Their circumference wheels about, but the center is the same forever. We must resolve this triplicity into a triplicity. Christ is the same according to these three distinct terms, three distinct ways. Objective in word, subjective in his power, effective in his gracious operation. Objectively, first, Jesus Christ is the same in his word, in that yesterday in preordination, today in incarnation, and forever in application. Yesterday in preordination, Peter tells us in his sermon, he tells the Jews that he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Acts 2:23. And in his epistle, that he was verily preordained before the foundation of the world, 1 Peter 1:20. Jesus is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8. Much comfort I must leave here to your meditation. Think on it. If God preordained a Savior for man before he had either made man or man marred himself, as Paul to Timothy, has saved us according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9. Then, surely, he meant that nothing should separate us from his eternal love in that Savior. Romans 8:39. Today, also in incarnation, secondly, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son made of a woman, Galatians 4:4. The Word was made flesh, John 1:14. He was yesterday God before all worlds. He is now made man in the world. So he is the same yesterday and today, objectively in his Word. That which was in the old concealed is in the new revealed. Yesterday, prefigured in the law, today the same manifested in the gospel. And yet, forever in application, thirdly. He continually does this by his Spirit in applying to our consciences the virtue of his death and passion. As many as receive him, to them he gives power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, John 1:12. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, Hebrews 10:14. His wounds are as fresh to do us good as they were to those saints that beheld him bleeding on the cross. The virtue of his merits is not abated, though many hands of faith have taken large portions out of his treasury. The river of his grace, which makes glad the city of God, runs over its banks, even though infinite souls have drank hearty draughts of it and satisfied their thirst. But because we cannot apprehend this for ourselves, therefore he hath promised to send us the Spirit of truth, who will dwell with us, John 14:17, and apply this to us forever. Also consider, secondly, subjectively, in his power he is the same. And that, yesterday, for he made the world. Today, for he governs the world. Forever, he'll judge the world. Yesterday, in the creation, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, John 1:3. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, John 8:58. We owe, then, ourselves to Christ for our creation, but how much more for our redemption? Today, he also governs. He upholdeth all things by the power of his word, Hebrews 1:3. Has God care of fowls and flowers, and will he not care for you, his own image? And also forever, because he'll judge the world. God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, Acts 17:31. In the day that God shall judge the secret of men by Jesus Christ, Romans 2:16. Let the wicked flatter themselves that all is but talk of any coming to judgment. But here is a matter of infallible comfort to us. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh, Luke 21:28. Here we're imprisoned and martyred and tortured, but when that great assize and general jail delivery comes, there shall be no more death or sorrow, but all tears shall be wiped from our eyes, Revelation 21:4. For it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, 2 Thessalonians 1:6 and 7. We shall then find him the same. Also consider effectually in his grace and mercy. He is the same. So he's the same yesterday to our fathers, today to ourselves, forever to our children. Yesterday to our fathers, all our fathers, whose souls are now in heaven, those spirits of just men made perfect, were, as the next words indicate in Hebrews 12, saved by Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and by the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And today, to ourselves, His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures from generation to generation. The same gracious Savior that he was yesterday to our fathers is he today to us, if we be today faithful to him. Today, he is yours. If today, you will be his. Yours tomorrow, if yet tomorrow, you will be his. And also forever to our children. He that was yesterday the God of Abraham is today ours and will be forever our children's. As well now the light of the Gentiles as before the glory of Israel. Luke 2:32. I will be the God of thy seed, saith the Lord to Abraham. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Luke 1:50. So in this way, as grace and peace are from him which is and which was and which is to come, so glory and honor be to him which is and which was and which is to come, even to Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen.